Ta-da!
Life's not like Flynn, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you what to do. If your life's tied to poop, he will make you brand new. If you don't like it.
Shadows with their heads hang low. You hear voices as the wind blows, asking, can't you see? Reminding you to breathe. It's only time before it catches up to you and all your broken luck. I found a better way to get even with my memory.
Hey everybody, lots of great stuff today on tap. That's how you say, I guess, that it's going to be good. Not that I mean that it's overpriced and you'll have to elbow your way through a bunch of fools to get to it. So maybe on tap isn't the best term. I don't know. Beer specials are not an expertise of mine. But you know what? We're going to have fun. We've got a rundown for President's Day of our nation's presidents that we might get to here. We've got a thing I learned in school, because I always like to share things that I learned in school so that we can all remember how retarded it is that I went to school and what I learned there. Also, we have, I had a sit-down thing where I was forced to listen to one of my enemies, a mommy blogger. We all know how I feel about that. So, buckle up, I guess they say. I don't know why that's a thing, too. It's like, this is going to be really exciting, so buckle up, even though the only thing you do that for is driving somewhere. And that is not exciting, either. There's nothing exciting about buckling a seatbelt or getting in a car. Well, this is a President's Day, the Day of Presidents. I don't really know what it has to do with anything, you know, in life other than I have the day off. I can't really think of why. I don't know what this has, any, you know, as far as anything like that. But hey, here we are, huh? So, do we have any kind of American song we could play or something like that? Oh, here we go. Lead into talking about our presidents. Oh, this is going to take an hour. List of the presidents of the United States. So, here's what we're going to do. Just as a proof, you know, of how poor my education was, I'm going to just tell you everything I know about every one of these presidents. And we'll see, you know, I'm sure there's probably like 50 or so. So if I get bored of this, we'll just quit and move on to something else. I wish I could sense if you were getting bored of this, but I have no way to do that. And frankly, no use for empathy for other people. So fuck yourself and enjoy. Let's see, who do we have here? George Washington. George Washington was probably best known because he was our first president, and also because he wore really dumb-looking wigs, but also looked bald at the same time. So that's all I know about George Washington. Oh, you know what? Here's what I'll do. And also looked bald at the same time. That way you'll know that I finished one off. John Adams. Unfortunately, I guess I'll probably be figuring out what order they're in, you know. I've got, the numbers are right next to them on this thing I'm looking at, so it's hard to avoid. So John Adams was next, apparently. He looked like George Washington, but with a shittier chin. Let's see. Thomas Jefferson. Slave fucker. Slave fucker. James Madison. He was married to Dolly Madison, who I think made delicious snack treats, but I'm not really sure which ones. James Monroe was a name of a janitor at my high school, probably. John Quincy Adams. Didn't we already have a John Adams here? I'm going to go back. We did already have a John Adams, so unoriginal name ripper offer. Andrew Jackson, Old Hickory. I believe he killed a lot of Indians. I know he's on a dollar bill, probably, I don't know, because of that or in spite of that, but he's on some kind of currency. I can tell you that right now because he's good at killing Indians massively. Martin Van Buren would be a great name. A Van Buren sounds like a fancy pen. William Henry Harrison, real ugly. John Tyler, if you added Blues Explosion to the end of that, sounds like a thing that I would know about. James K. Polk. He was the roughest shooting cowboy in all of the Western seaboard. Zachary Taylor. Good old Zach. This is the first famous person ever named Zach. And the last one until the 90s when we had Zach Morris and convinced people that that was a good name, but it wasn't. Millard Fillmore was actually a duck. Franklin Pierce. Little known fact, his middle name was not Delano. James Buchanan. He was one of the famous Buchanans from that TV show. Abraham Lincoln, probably best known for the bastardization of his name to describe a hot woman, Babraham Lincoln. Andrew Johnson did not like to be called Andy John. Ulysses S. Grant, Civil War general, sometimes known as, his enemy was Stonewall Jackson, so he was Ulysses S. Granite when they topless wrestled in a wrestling ring to decide the outcome of the Civil War. Rutherford B. Hayes. Sounds like a guy who would like fixed gear bicycles. James A. Garfield, although it's popularly believed that he's the inspiration for the cat Garfield, James A. Garfield actually preferred Mondays because his wife was quite the shrew. Chester A. Arthur was in fact the inspiration for Garfield. Are you guys getting sick of this yet? Grover Cleveland. I don't know anything about him, but he looks like a chunky fat of fat. Benjamin Harrison. Know nothing, nobody. Apparently Grover Cleveland again. He went twice, but not in a row. That seems very unlikely. Grover Cleveland was the first to go for Wikipedia reform for this kind of shit. William McKinley? I think he shot somebody or got shot by somebody, some bullshit like that. Theodore Roosevelt. He was the one who was exciting. He had the bears in the White House. He did all that kind of stuff. He hits me as our first president that I can get behind as far as being a novelty instead of just some shithead in a suit. Oh, also, he would be the kind of guy who's like, well, you know what you should do if you're a weak young boy is get bare-chested and swim in the ocean. Let's see, we've got William Howard Taft. I believe he was the fatso. I think he'll be forever remembered as President Fatso. So that's a nice legacy. Woodrow Wilson gave us lots of nice names for the boner. Warren G. Harding was very confusing for me in school because of, I had some trouble keeping the president straight. But it was bad enough, and then you have this to add in on top of it, if I can pull this up. There we go. This is what Warren G. Harding's best known for.
We regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. Gotta be handy with the steel, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Gotta be handy with the steel, Warren G. always said.
Mount up.
This is just
a clear black night, a clear white moon. Energy was on the streets, trying to consume some skirts for the east.
That's what I'm talking about. Warren G., one of our finest presidents.
Just hit the east side of the LBC on a mission trying to find Mr. Warren G. Seen a call.
There you go, Mr. Warren G.
Just
hand that back here. Where were we? Let's see, we've got Calvin Coolidge. He sounds like a mafia hitman for sure. There's not a doubt in my mind on that one. Herbert Hoover inspired the vacuum because he gave great blowjobs. Franklin Cripplewell Roosevelt. Then we've got Harry S. Truman, which would have made for some good campaign slogans, but I don't think he capitalized on it. Dwight D. Eisenhower, who's probably most famous for the slogan, I like Ike, which was, I don't know why that's such a famous slogan. That's like a four at best, right? I mean, you like him. He's okay. I would say he's decent. You know, he's our better choice. So I like Ike. John F. Kennedy. The F stands for effed in the head by a bullet. Lyndon B. Johnson, UGMO. Richard Nixon, most famous for being Richard Nixon at this point. Gerald Ford, most famous for being confused with the car guy. Jimmy Carter, most famous for nothing, although he seems to have drummed in the modern era of darker suits. Ronald Reagan, this was the president when I was a child. I remember that. I remember when they were going to change presidents, and I thought, oh, fuck, what if the world gets fucked? And this would have been 1989, so I was about six or seven when the presidents changed over and learned that it makes no difference. George Herbert Walker Bush. I love that East Side Motel part. George H.W. Bush, basically old man. Bill Clinton, most famous for getting a blowjob and also sleeping with women who everyone seems obsessed about deciding whether or not they're attractive enough for him. George W. Bush, dum-dum. And Barack Obama, the black guy. Done. We did it. I didn't think I was going to make it that fast. How long have we been doing this fucking show? See, this is why I'm not good at doing like a real radio show. You know, it's been like 10 minutes and I've already blown all the content of this whole show. But I don't know anything about these presidents. You know what I mean? Who knows anything about them? Nobody knows shit about them. I did have some other things I wanted to do, though. Oh, shit. There goes Warren G. Well, that's okay. That was fun, though, huh? I have a lot of other stuff. Don't even worry, guys. I know you're worried. I know how you all worry about me in this show. It was funny. I was driving yesterday through a nearby town where they have a radio station, where one time I went to visit a friend. He was working, and we were jacking off in the booth because that's what they do on radio. No, we were there to pick him up to go to the movies, and he was sitting doing his DJ stuff. And I have this distinct memory of what we were doing. We were going to go see Transformers because we're sitting there, and then he has to do his last thing. You know, he plays a Pearl Jam song or something like that, or you know, some bullshit from the 90s. Like I don't even know what he was playing. You know, some old school shit that no one cares about anymore or something like that. And he's like, all right, everybody. Well, that's about it for me today. I'm going out with my friends to see Transformers. And I'll never forget how he said Transformers. I was like, this is how people on the radio talk and why no one listens to them. Because nobody talks like that. What did you guys go see last weekend? Transformers! No, we went and saw Transformers. Transformers. I mean, you can't just say everything like that, can you? What am I having to drink right now? Beer. We're going to have some beer. You know? I don't. Why is the radio? Why is that a thing to talk like that? Does that force you to pay attention to me when I say that? Give me money. Send me dollars in the mail. I don't understand where this radio voice came from. It's kind of like, you know, people do this. I've heard this come about with, you know, the stereotypical gay voice, right? People make fun of that and then say, but where did it come from? How did it start? And there's all these various theories. I don't know where the radio voice came from. There must have been, because you could probably trace that back to some guy. Some shithead who's like, hey, all the time. Anyway. That was an important story for me to tell everybody. I wanted to also, I did have another thing actually about school that I wanted to go over about why I hated school so much and something we did. Lately I've been horrifying my girlfriend with these tales of things we did in school. You know, the latest one she was horrified by was one of our school lunches was a scoop, an ice cream scoop of chili dumped into a Frito bag. This delicacy was known as Chili Fritos because, you know, if you're not going to be creative with the dish, why bother being creative with the name? And she was not impressed by this as a meal for children, which I can't say I blame her too much. You know, and then the more I say, the more she seems terrified, you know, like we watched all of Roots, which is, you know, 8 tapes long or something. And I remember this exercise we did one time where we had to read this story and then talk about it. You know, a teacher hands out this thing and says, read this quietly at your desks while I sit at my slightly larger desk that has no drawers. It's just a table. And you can all see my legs in my dumb pants while I'm sitting up here. And we're going to do these activities. And I want you to read this while I think about my life and then sort of, once the noise level reaches a point that I feel like most people have probably read it, is when I will interrupt the class and be like, quit making so much fucking noise, and we'll go on for 15 more minutes, and then we'll discuss it. So here's the thing we read. It's called The Sacred Rack. An Indian anthropologist, Chandra Tapar, made a study of foreign cultures which had customs similar to those of his native land. One culture in particular fascinated him because it reveres one animal as sacred, much as the people in India revere the cow. The tribe Dr. Tapar studied is called the Asu and is found on the North American continent north of the Tarahumara of Mexico. Though it seems to be a highly developed society of its type, it has an overwhelming preoccupation with the care and feeding of the rack, an animal much like a bull in size, strength, and temperament. In the Asu tribe, it is almost a social obligation to own at least one, if not more, racks. Anyone not possessing at least one is held in low esteem by the community because he is too poor to maintain one of the beasts properly. Some members of the tribe, to display their wealth and prestige, even own herds of racks. You guys getting excited? Unfortunately, the rack breed is not very healthy and usually does not live more than 5 to 7 years. Each family invests large sums of money each year to keep its rack healthy and shod, for it has a tendency to throw its shoes often. There are rack specialists in each community, perhaps more than one if the community is particularly wealthy. These specialists, however, due to the long period of ritual training they must undergo and to the difficulty of obtaining the right selection of charms to treat the rack, demand costly offerings whenever a tribesman must treat his ailing rack. At the age of 16 in many Asu communities, many youths undergo a puberty rite in which the rack figures prominently. The youths must petition a high priest in a grand temple. He is then initiated into the ceremonies that surround the care of the rack and is permitted to keep a rack. Although the rack may be used as a beast of burden, it has many habits which would be considered by other cultures as detrimental to the life of the society. In the first place, the rack breed is increasing. Now I'm sitting here reading this, and my teacher is leaning back thinking, these dumb motherfuckers, they don't even know what they're about to get in. I am about to blow their world minds. Everything they thought they knew is everything they don't know. You know, it's all bunk. The tribesmen have given no thought to curbing the rack population. As a consequence, the Esu must build more and more paths for Rag to travel on, since its delicate health and its love of racing other rags at high speed necessitates that special areas be aside for its use. The cost of smoothing the earth is too costly for any one individual to undertake, so it has become a community project, and each tribesman must pay an annual tax to build new paths and maintain the old. There are so many paths needed that some people move their homes because the rack paths must be as straight as possible to keep the animal from injuring itself. Dr. Tapar also notes that unlike the cow, which many people in his country hold sacred, the excrement of the rack cannot be used as either fuel or fertilizer. On the contrary, its excrement is exceptionally foul and totally useless. Worst of all, the rack is prone to rampages in which it runs down anything in its path, much like stampeding cattle. Estimates are that the rack kills thousands of Asu in a year. Despite the rack's high cost of its upkeep, the damage it does to the land, and its habit of destructive rampages, the Asu still regard it as being essential to the survival of their culture. So basically what they want you to do is read this fucking story and say, these people are retarded. You know what I mean? Everyone's an idiot. They're what fucking idiots to keep this animal. It's dangerous. It's costly. You know, I guess they're trying to get your eighth grade ire up. I mean, I remember being mad that I had to read this. I remember that. I don't know if I was so much mad about the, you know, the people keeping their retarded animals or whatever. You know, and then they reveal, well, take the word rack, R-I-C, and spell it backwards. What does that give you, children? And then you're like, oh, fuck, it's the car. And then they say, now reverse Asu, and you're like, USA. Oh my God, it's us. This is us doing it. What fools we've been, you know. Oh, my mind's open to these other cultures. That's great. I was so fucking mad when we did this because it was such a colossal waste of time. And also, it's an absolutely asinine way to think of a car, okay? Because basically what they're saying is like, it takes out the idea of the car as transportation, for one thing. I mean, yes, they are expensive and you have to take them to mechanics and shit, but there's a point to it. It's not because we're just thinking some weird god told us. You know, and it's like, oh, you have to go to this temple and pray to a priest to get your rack or whatever when you're 16. It's like, well, it's like that, except instead of, you know, praying and telling someone that you believe in some horse shit about some man who lives in a giant sky and has a big white, you know, ivory desk that's not from dead elephants, but that he just made out of thin air. Instead of that, you just have to go and show that you're capable of doing the thing that you're about to be doing. It's like the one process. Everyone says, like, oh, you have to have a license to drive a car. Why not have a baby? Or blah, blah, blah. And it's like the one thing that we license people to do. And, you know, you're saying, like, oh, it's ridiculous. And it's like, that's the one part of driving a car that makes some fucking sense. Is that they say, like, okay, you do need to have some kind of acumen when it comes to controlling a vehicle. You know, you have to have some kind of method of steering and accelerating and braking. You know, and then, you know, probably eyes. I know it's a big deal to regulate, but we could go at least that far. It's just one of those things that I hate that teachers do. You know, I think this must be like a young teacher's game. You know, where they kind of do this, you know, we are going to, we're really going to teach you something. You know what I mean? We are going to show you that as you grow into people, as you do these extra things, you know what I mean? You are going to feel so amazing about the whole world. The world is going to be so large for you. You know what I mean? And it just makes me crazy, you know, because it's such a boring, stupid way to do this kind of shit. You're not going to enlighten kids by telling them, you know, fooling them. All you do is make us not trust you, which I already don't. And then you're going to try and trick us and make us look like idiots. I mean, how does that help? Who is that for? You know what I mean? Why is that an appropriate thing to do to somebody? I don't even know. Ugh. Okay, so there you go. That was my school. This is what I learned. Ugh, God. All right. So here we go. Last week, I was in a situation that I'm not going to go into, but I've had to listen to one of my enemies, a mommy blogger. And these people, believe me, are my enemies. Not because of why they say they're my enemies. I've thought a lot about this over the last week, and, we got to get into this. Mommy bloggers are not my enemies because they're moms. They're not my enemies because they're opinionated. And they're my enemies because they think that they're so great and they represent everything that they think is not great. And I will give you an example. So it was this lady, and first of all, she spent a lot of time telling us how she felt very lost in her 20s, and so she had a kid, and then she wasn't really sure about being a mom, if this was something she liked at all. She felt extremely ambivalent about her children, or her child, so then she proceeded to have more children, So first off, already I'm like, okay, so you're just not a planner. You just don't care about, these. You're just having kids then? I mean, maybe you've grown into it, and that's great, but that's a horrible decision, and I already hate you because I think that's the biggest problem in the world. Everybody who has a kid who's, doing it to fill any kind of void is going to be upset. But the thing that really bothers me about it, and then, she says something, she said some hilarious joke like, we talk about moms, we're like moms on tequila, expecting a huge laugh from the gathered crowd. And, I'm sure there were some laughs. I think one person, and she's like, thank you to whoever that was who laughed. But the thing is, I just don't understand this, like, mommies who drink thing. I mean, that's fine. I don't have a problem with a mom who drinks. Less than most of the moms I know don't think that you have to not be your own person anymore when you have a child. Or dads. I mean, dads are this way too. When you have a child, you can still be a regular person who also has a child. Now, you have to make some sacrifices for your child. You probably are going to have a tough time getting real wasted and stumbling home fucking trashed if you have a baby. And that's not going to be a very responsible way to handle yourself. But shit, when the kid's 12, and if your husband's watching the kid and you get a little wasted, I think you're going to be fine. I don't think that's a big deal. Have a fucking beer. That's okay. I'm the last person in the world who's going to tell you to not have a beer, obviously. I would be beer funneling moms left and right. I don't even really care if they're moms. You know what I mean? The other thing that bothers, and so I just, and it's like, we're like mommies who drink tequila. I'm like, okay, so you're like a normal person. You're like, you would be a shocking person in, the 60s or something. Yes, I'd be blown away. And then also, she probably 5 or 6 times, and, the time she talked, had to explain how outrageous she was, or edgy. That was her word, edgy. I'm so edgy. You know what I mean? And let me tell you something about being edgy. If you're edgy, you don't have to tell people that you're edgy. They'll tell you, okay? You get to say edgy one time for every 10 times you hear it. That's my policy on edgy. You don't get to tell everyone else how edgy you are. Because if you're telling everyone, if that's one of your appeal factors is that you're so edgy, and then your explanation of it is that you allow people to swear, I mean, I'm going to be pretty fucking disappointed. You know what I mean? This show, I've never said anything could not be said on this show. Ever. And sometimes it's, I guess, it could be edgy, it could be not. I don't even see it as edgy. Because it's all a joke. That's the thing. I don't take it so seriously that I can't allow for things to be funny. Which I think is the problem here. They talk about things being funny, but it's not. Not funny. I'm on the website right now because I wanted to just sort of go over some of the things on here. And, they have a topic that's humor. So let's see. Let's see what we've got under humor. Let's see. My adventures with manifesting, even though I don't like that word, which starts with, I had a religious experience. And that sounds hilarious. Let's see. A pseudo thankful Thanksgiving. Oh, good. That sounds really fun. The slow mom movement. Let's see, I'm 13 weeks pregnant. We're buying my first house. I spend most of my days, save 12 blessed hours per week, raising my 3-year-old son. Wow, hilarious. Pandora's politics. Okay, I don't even know what that is. I've been avoiding my friend and the Facebook. Oh, elections. Okay, that sounds really funny. Slowing down and thinking less. Sounds hilarious. And a photo contest. I mean, this is the thing. This is not funny. What the fuck is funny about this? Okay? Your biannual vacation. The blame games. I mean, these sound real hilarious. Can't wait. Can't wait to see what all is on here. You know what I mean? Oh, okay. Here's a hilarious one. A photo challenge. Honest parent portraits. So, you know, it's like, oh, look at these pictures of what it's like to be a real parent. Here's a picture of a baby who's climbed onto a coffee table. Here's one of a baby who's crying when a mom's holding it. Big fucking deal. Here's a kid who's like 5 crying. I mean, who cares? Here's a kid with cake all over his face. Oh, man, what a big, that's what a terrible thing that is, you know. Here's a dad looking tired. I mean, that's, okay, hilarious. Good one, guys. I hate this because it's exactly, when it says it's edgy and it's not like your typical thing, it's exactly like your typical thing. And that's what bothers me about it. It's exactly what it's trying not to be. And then she flips around and starts talking about how, oh, God. Can you guys fucking believe that I had to listen to this? This is like my idea of hell, to have to listen to a person like this. You know, and her big thing was she was like, oh, yeah, I manage a Facebook page. Holy shit. How could you possibly manage to do that as a career? I mean, most people have a career and a Facebook page. I mean, you manage a Facebook page. That's a really nice way of saying I put up things on a Facebook page. What an entrepreneurial spirit you must have to have thought of having a Facebook page in addition to, you know, your regular shit that you do every day. The worst part was, though, that then she starts talking about, you know, how she got negative feedback. You know, someone asked a question like, what have you sacrificed to realize your goals here? And she said she gave this long explanation of how she went to her hairdresser, and her hairdresser was like, I like the magazine you do, but could you do a little less swearing? You know, and so she didn't actually lose the hairdresser. She didn't actually, you know, get yelled at by the hairdresser. She just had a hairdresser who had some concerns about her fucking magazine. What a sacrifice to have to deal with that. What a horrible thing. You know, and then, so she was kind of saying, you know, oh, people will be negative about things and you have to keep moving, which I do agree with. However, then she was talking about how, you know, oh, it's been nice because people haven't been real negative. I mean, once in a while, there's a negative person who posts a negative comment on Facebook or something. But, you know, it's horrible, you know, and I don't know why people are so negative. I'm just trying to empower and all that. And this is what I don't agree with, okay? I don't think that the internet is for that. I'm sorry. If you're famous, you can spread your fame on the internet. A rare, very small amount of people get famous on the internet. But for the rest of us, I think it's okay to be mean on the internet. I don't think that's a problem. You know what I mean? Because you can hurt people's feelings, but sometimes it's funny. I just saw this. This is probably inside baseball. I saw this tweet. A comedian, Kumail Nanjiani, tweeted, you know, something that said like 33% of accidents happen while people are trying to fast forward through the first 10 minutes of Mark Maron's podcast, which I thought was funny. I think that's funny. And then, you know, Mark Maron got all pissed off about it and was like, I see your pseudo jokes on here all the time and blah, blah, blah. And you know, Kumail was real nice about it, actually. He's like, I really respect what you do, just making a joke. I'm not going to engage. Thanks. You know, and I think that's the right way to handle it. He made a joke. The other guy obviously took it like a shithead. And he's like, I made the joke. I'm moving on. You know, I obviously wasn't trying to destroy your feelings, because that's not, to me, that's not a hurtful thing to say. You know, it's true. We've all done it, right? We've all fast-forwarded through that part or thought about it. I mean, shit, it's half ads anyway. Audible.com. Go down to Audible. You can download one of our guests' new books. Fuck that. Fuck you. I'm not doing that. Don't do Audible.com, by the way. It's a total scheme. They make you sign up for a membership so they can just recharge your credit card every month. And also you have to get this, like, Audible download manager. It's horse shit. Skip it. Fuck them. You know, so, I mean, I think you can say mean things, and even people like Mark Maron, who are famous as fuck, are going to have a hard time taking these things sometimes. So, you know, I guess we can't expect the average person to do it. But I think that the internet is a place where it's okay to be mean. You know, people are like, don't bully people, don't say mean things. But if you're going to put up a website that's about, you know, I mean, I read a story from this mommy blogger's website, and it was basically like her kids were out playing in some parking lot of a business. Some guy kind of came up and said, what are you doing? They ran off, and when she went back there later, she's all pissed off because this guy chased off her kids. And some lady who was there was like, well, yeah, he works here, and kids aren't supposed to be playing around in our fucking parking lot during the day when people are coming and going in their cars. Like, don't be crazy about this. You know, and she's like, oh, and the guy was barely even apologetic, and he seemed creepy. And I was like, fuck you. You know what I mean? If you just let your kids run wild and they're going to be in a parking lot, I'm not saying riding bikes in a parking lot is a huge crime, but I'm going to tell you, if your kids are just riding their bikes around in a parking lot and a guy says, like, hey, you kids, and they run away, I mean, what part of that is a problem? This is all we used to do. I swear to God, when I was a kid, the only thing I ever heard from strange adult was, hey, you kids, or hey, get down from there. Hey, what are you doing here? It was always started with, hey, what, you know, like most famously in my mind was we were behind a grocery store and they had the truck ramp, you know, where the trucks back down it. So then the loading part of the loading bay, you know, so it's at a downward angle so that when the truck backs in, it's cargo container is level with the floor. So it was at an angle, and we would go back there with the shopping carts and ride the shopping carts down, because this is big fun. A guy comes out of one of the side doors as we're doing this and is like, hey, you kids. And, you know, he gives such little chase that we had time to run out from the bottom of this ramp, you know, which was fenced in on both sides, right past him and just run away. And I don't think he even wanted to catch us, you know, in retrospect, because what, I mean, if I saw kids doing something, I don't want to catch them. If they just want to run away, I'm satisfied. I'd be like, mission accomplished. That actually worked out much better than I'd planned. So all I'm saying is, if you're going to put up a website for this kind of stuff, and you know you're going to have your opinions about these people, guess what? Other people are going to have opinions about it. And if you can't take it, then get off the fucking internet. Because you know what? It belongs to us. It belongs to the mean. That's just how it is. You know, people are going to create things about things that other people create. That's what it is. That's where we live now. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that that's how you feel. I mean, any person on the fucking planet can now go online, and if they're even remotely famous, type in their name and the word sucks, and then read a bunch of bad shit about them. So get used to it. I don't like when people say there's no room to be mean. You know, they're trying to be so inclusive and for the rights of people or whatever, but you know who has no rights? The mean. And I just think it's funny. I don't have a problem with being mean or when people are mean on the internet. I don't really see why that's such a big fucking deal. I really don't. And I'll tell you something else. You know, people are like, oh, kids are getting bullied at school and all this shit. If your kid can't take being bullied on the internet, then he shouldn't be on the fucking internet. That's all there is to it. It's not for you. I mean, this is part of the maturity process. This is why you can't drive when you're five, because you can't handle it. You're not ready. This is why you, I mean, why should your kid, if your kid is not allowed to date, why are they on Facebook? You know what I mean? There's no reason for them to be on there. This is the kind of social activity that you're trying to avoid. I mean, if all you're trying to do is have your kid avoid getting his penis or vagina touched, because he's a weird hermaphrodite kid, which I could see why you're trying to shelter him a little bit. But if that's all you're looking for, then I don't know. I mean, you should be trying to keep your kid from dating for a little while because it's painful and weird and, you know, they probably will end up with some weirdo. God knows. I don't know. I just don't understand why it's such a thing. I don't know why. I don't know where this started about being negative. I heard this song. Let me see if I can find this here. It was part of an Eminem song, actually, where he was saying something, and it made me laugh, but it also made me think. Let me see if I can find this here. All right, here you go. I want my guts sick, mommy, and my nuts slick. Gobble them up, trick, yummy. Bitch, you don't fucking think I know that you suck dick, dummy. You get your butt kicked. Fuck all that love shit, honey. Yeah, I laugh when I call you a slut. It's funny. Did we all get it? Hang on. Let me just go back a little bit. Yeah, I laugh when I call you a slut. It's funny. Okay. So, you know, he's famous for saying bad shit that he shouldn't be saying and all that stuff. And so, you know, and it's like, I laugh when I call you a slut. It's funny. That's the point. He thinks it's funny. So, what are you arguing? Are you saying it's not funny? If that's the argument you're going to have, that's impossible. You know what I mean? You can't tell me that. You know, I think the color yellow is the best color. You're not going to be able to argue with me that that's not true. But if he thinks it's funny to call somebody a slut, it's going to be pretty hard to argue with him that it's not funny. You can't convince somebody that it's not funny. You know? So, I mean, just be mean to people. That's fine. I don't think there's a problem being mean to people. So, with that in mind, I pulled up the website of this particular mommy blog. And I found all the different categories by subject. So I thought what I would do is write a mini article, or, you know, tell you what my article would be about for my my parenting blog based on these different topics. So we've got a whole list here. Let's start at the top. Advocacy. Ah, one of my favorite topics. You know, I do like advocacy because what advocacy is all about is basically being mean to other people for causes that I'm not actually involved in, but I'm inserting myself into and don't actually care about. Oh, hang on. There you go. That's anger. Actually, I do talk about that all the time. I mean, in relation to if I had to write a mommy blog about anger, I mean, it would probably be anger at, you know, where my life has ended up, and not just in having a child, but then making my weird career about having a child and how I feel about that. Attachment parenting. Ah, one of my favorite topics. I can wax on and on about this. I think we all know what it is, though. It's when you buy one of those backpacks where the baby's on the front. I don't know why the baby can't be on the back. I mean, what do you need to see him that? And I don't like that. You know, I had a cat sitting on my lap the other day, and it was sitting facing me, so its face was like 4 inches from my face. I don't like that. I don't need the face that close to my fucking face. Birth control. Well, that one must start often with the phrase, I wish. Birthing. Oh, yeah. This is a real important topic to people, apparently. How the birthing process goes and doing the natural birth and all that. I don't give a damn about that. I was born by cesarean section. And, you know, I spend my days just railing about mommy blogs. So, obviously, I'm fine. Body image. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's how you feel about your body, right? You just, I don't know. What, I... I just don't know why people can't move on with these things. You know what I mean? I'm not saying, I guess when you're have a baby, your idea of a body image doesn't go away. But what are you going to do? I mean, you see a lady and she's got a mom style body, and then you're like, yeah, she had a kid. It changes your form of your body. That's how it goes. Book review. Let's see. If I was a mommy, I'd probably review Goodnight Moon and give it a 10. Brain break. Oh, that's so fun. I like taking a brain break with my kids. That's where I break their brains using cement blocks. Breastfeeding. This is something I like to talk about a lot because a lot of people say that you shouldn't breastfeed in public, which I've heard never. College aged. So this is when your kids are in college. I mean, all right. When your kid is in college, I know they're still your kid and you're still a mom and there's part of that connection that never goes away. But your primary function is not to be a mom anymore when your kid's in college. You need to let them become their own person. You can't just be in there. You can't insert yourself in all the time. You need to let them be their own thing, and part of that is being your own thing. Confident mothering. Ah, yes. Nothing worse than a wuss mom. You know, one of these moms who attaches bungees to their kids because they're afraid they'll drop them. Don't we all hate that? Conflict. Ah, that's a good topic for a blog. I mean, what kind of post or book or anything, what story does not have conflict in it? That's why this is an idiotic thing. I mean, anything has conflict in it. If there's no conflict, there's nothing to say. You know, if there's not two things going on, if there's only one thing going on, there's nothing to fucking say. Depression. I could say a lot about that. I'm so depressed. Divorce equals bad. Educational advocacy. I'm glad that we're breaking advocacy down into different categories. I mean, is there anyone who's, well, all right, educational advocate, let me tell you something. I went to school and learned about the sacred rack. So, yeah, great. Up with schools. Empowered birth. I think that's when you take the drugs. Faith. Ah, that's one of the big topics. I mean, you know what? I gotta say, after having my first kid, my ideas about God changed a lot. Because when you think about the miracle of life, when you think about how miraculous it is that a sperm and an egg, which were designed for an exact purpose, were able to fulfill that exact purpose, it'll blow your fucking mind, right? Who would have thought that these tiny little things, you know, that could do stuff, who would have thought very small things would have an effect, such as bacteria, germs, mold, spores, pollen? Who would have thought these small things could actually do a thing and make a larger thing? Can you believe that somehow humans are so special that they've managed a way to make more of themselves? Wow. Food. Okay. I mean, yeah. Okay. Should we see what's even in there? I don't know. I mean, is this what you feed your baby? Yeah, gross shit in jars? I mean, oh, here's one that's just called tomatoes. I wrote about my son's blood test. Okay. Oh, Jesus Christ. All right. Oh, I've got a flu. I'm seriously pissed off. Okay, let's read the first line of all these. On this veritable and unique of American holidays for about Thanksgiving. Good one. Over the past few years, I've developed an increasingly intimate relationship with a friend. Great. Last month, I wrote about my son's recent blood test. Good one. I am seriously pissed off. And I am in the middle of a revolting case of influenza A. No, not just the flu, but influenza. I mean, okay. I mean, doesn't this sound like the person you want to hang out with? I think that's kind of the point. You know, everyone votes for a president they want to hang out with, and people read a blog of someone they think would be fun to hang out with. I don't want to be with that person who's like, oh, I had influenza, now my kid's getting a blood test. Friendship, you know, yeah, enjoy sitting around in circles with strollers. Gifted children, aren't they all? Aren't they all gifts and gifted? The answer is no and no. Grandparents, well, good news. I mean, you know, I don't have any. And if I ever have a kid, they'll have like one. So, problem solved. Grown children, aka adults, aka people that you don't parent. Homeschooling. Oh, Jesus. I do need to... So I have this friend online who decided to homeschool her kid. And I gotta say, here's the thing about the homeschool kids. I've seen this 100 times at my work, okay? We deal with a lot of homeschool kids. They do a lot of reading. They read a lot. They get a lot of information from books. They all suck at math. They're weird. They are not good at fashion. And frankly, I think the science is a little weak as well. I had a parent come in who wanted a creation science thing. You know, so I found some information and said, well, it was about volcanoes. And she wanted it from a creationist perspective. I found this thing about volcanoes. And I was like, well, this doesn't mention evolution or anything like that. I mean, it's just the science of what's inside the planet Earth and that kind of thing and how that all works. And she was like, no, it has to mention God specifically. So there you go. Homeschool. Humor. We already went over that one. Hilarious. Oh, in-laws. Am I right? Infants. Good. I mean, yeah, this is about being a mom, so I would think that, you know, I don't know. What? Who's tagging these? Ooh, here's a good one. Intuition. Nothing like the intuition of a mom. You know what I mean? We know. We just know things. Oh, fuck this. All right, should we do this? I wanted to... Let's just skip on to special needs. That sounds fun. And also, I wanted to open this dad's column. That sounds pretty great. I mean, again. Ooh, here sounds like a good one. To the man in the gray shirt at Arches National Park. That could have been me. Because I was wearing a gray shirt and went there. Let's see. To the man in the gray shirt at Arches National Park. A few weeks have passed since we met on that sandy trail. Perhaps you don't remember me. Let me refresh your memory. I was the woman sitting on the rocks below Landscape Arch on a Sunday afternoon. I wore a Life is Good hat, which tends to strike me as ironic. Life doesn't always feel good these days. People like you don't help. I mean, can you understand why this is upsetting to me? Why I don't want to read this? Because I'm like, this lady is a fucking drag. You know what I mean? This was like weeks ago, and she's talking about, she's like, I wear a Life is Good hat, but only because I think life is not so good. Perhaps you thought my husband and I were, it's like Eeyore. I'm like, why don't they fucking kick that motherfucker out of the forest? Or just be like, hey, if you want to come to the party and be an asshole, just stay home. We don't need you here. Go home and eat thistles. That's fine. Fuck him. Perhaps you thought my husband and I were a couple simply resting on those rocks. It was a hot day and the trail down to the arch was sandy and tough on the knees. You clearly didn't realize we had a child or noticed that we had our backs to the magnificent rock arch. You failed to see we were hunched over and weary. I will always remember you. When I think of you, the first image that comes to my mind is your gray t-shirt, followed by your all-American girth. I see sneakers and tube socks as well, although I might have borrowed these details from some other tourist. The gray shirt was enough. For the rest of the weekend, I cringed every time I saw an older man dressed in that color. Gray? So this oh my god, this killed gray for me. This is like when people, you know, say... I ate Chinese and I threw up, and it's like, okay, it ruined it for you? Jesus. Not to mention, it's like, all right, well, so far, I mean, you're obviously pissed off at him for some reason, but you've already called him fatso, so that's nice. I couldn't sleep for several nights after our meeting. It's crazy, right? Our conversation lasted less than 10 seconds, but I've replayed it over and over. I remember the way my head snapped in your direction when you spoke. Did you see that spoiled brat? You said loudly to your wife. You had just passed my son 20 yards up the path. Words leapt from my mouth before I realized I wanted to speak. He has autism, I called out to you, but thank you for saying that out loud. I wonder now, did you want my son to hear? Did you want him to feel ashamed? I wonder why I thanked you. I'll give you this much credit. You startled at my words. Some emotion, maybe guilt, flitted across your face. He gave me a look like he wanted to kill me, you said, as if this validated your opinion. My eyes flitted in my son's direction. He was turned away, curled into the gnarled branches of a juniper tree that bordered the trail. The night before at the ranger program, he'd learned that in harsh times, a juniper will self-select a branch to kill off so that the rest of the plant can survive. We'd contemplated the startling sentience that this adaptability implies. Whew. Sir, I know the look my son gave you. He gives it to me all the time. I'm baffled by how a single look translates into spoiled brat. Boy, that kid's grumpy would have been more accurate. I wouldn't have taken issue with you there. He's not spoiled and he's not a brat, but he was having a moment. Here's what you don't know. About 10 minutes earlier, I had said to my son, look around. You're shouting at us and being rude. People are going to think you're a brat. I'm ashamed of that sentence now, no less because my prediction came true. I mean, here's the thing. It's just like, I mean, okay, you have a kid with autism. Someone said something. Fucking blow him off. You know what I mean? Obviously, the guy's a dickhead. If he had a look and was like, what a spoiled brat or whatever, fuck him. I mean, fuck him. Who cares? You know what I mean? Your child's got autism. He's probably going to get a lot of worse shit than that, and so are you as his mom. Grow the fuck up, you know? And then your solution is to just rant about this. You know what I mean? We worry our children will never be understood and appreciated. 1 in 88 children is on the autism spectrum nowadays, and it's inevitable you'll meet another child like mine. Oh, Jesus. A break was all he needed, and a snack. We gave him half a banana. He asked for another, and then we continued on, visiting several more arches on the trail. Isn't that how it should have been? I mean, Jesus Christ. Fuck you. You know what I mean? That's crazy. That is crazy. You just wrote this thing to this guy who you're never going to see again, and it's like, what was your point? I mean, he misjudged something, you pointed it out to him, and then you felt like you needed to go further. You know what I mean? I'm with you. I'm with you up until the point where, you know, you tell him like, hey, he's fucking autistic, so that's what it is. You know what I mean? I'm with you up till then. But then you got to write him this letter? I mean, Jesus Christ. I don't know. What do you want me to do? I just fucking hate everybody. This is so terrible. Do we even want to look at dad column? These aren't even by dads. These are posted by a lady. I mean, this is the thing, too. I got to say, why are there so many mommy blogs? And where are the dad blogs? You know what I mean? If this is such a thing, I would think, you know, and it's like, oh, there's such a network out there and blah, blah, blah. I think that everyone should just calm down, okay? People aren't making fun of your retarded son, you know? They're not laughing at a kid in a wheelchair. The reason being, they can tell he's in a wheelchair. If your kid's autistic, he probably can't tell. You know what I mean? He doesn't know. So fuck it. Leave it alone. He's an idiot. I mean, everyone's an idiot. You guys are obviously idiots too. I mean, you know, you're talking about your life is good hat. And the issue, I think, I mean, it really sums up everything for me. You know, maybe that's the thing I hate about mom blogs and these kind of things, is that they're not really about what they say they're about. I mean, if you had some good burns on this guy, you called him a fat fucking idiot. You said he wore gray shirts because he heard that black was slimming, but he, you know, he wanted to look a little fat instead, so he went halfway between black and not black. Something like that. I mean, that's a start. You know, I don't know. But this is, it's just, this is the core of the whole issue to me. It's like, this is not fun to read. You're not a fun person to hear a story from. I'm not enjoying this. But you get some sort of credence or credit because it's a lot easier to be a mom as your hook for a blog or for a show or whatever than it is to be actually legitimately funny. That's the problem I have with mommy blogs. And people will respond to it because there are a lot of moms who are at home with their kids, and they probably... A mom blog is perfect because you can read it at your convenience. So when the kid's taking a nap or something, I mean, when you get 2 minutes to yourself, you can read it and then move back. I just don't think that mom blogs are good. You know, it's not about them. I mean, obviously, it's not about that they're more famous than my website or something like that. That's not, I don't care about that because every website is more famous than my website. Think of any website, and if you know the URL to that website, it's definitely more famous than my website. I just get mad, and this goes right back to the lady talking that whole time, when people waste my fucking time. And when you're writing this, I mean, who are you writing it for? You're wasting my time. This isn't meant to help anyone else but yourself. It's not meant to express a funny story. You're the kind of person who everyone avoids because you're just a fucking drag. And you think that talking about the bad things in your life is going to attract friends and well-wishers. But all it does is force people into saying that shit because they don't know what else to do. You know, they're like, oh great, here comes so-and-so again. Can't wait to hear about what her newest problem with her fucking, you know, her ankles is or whatever. All right, this is, I mean, I'm out of steam, huh? I don't need you guys to tell me that, you fuckers. Well, thanks for listening. Avoid mommy blogs if you can. You know, I'm not even going to tell you to visit my stuff or read blog it this week. Just avoid that stuff as much as possible. And if you think something on the internet is a waste of your time, I mean, if you feel like the people who write something or post something are wasting your time, stop fucking going there. Don't go to their website. Don't give them comments. Positive or negative, just stop. Just quit everything. You know what I mean? Just leave them alone. Or say mean shit about them on a radio or a post. If you say real mean shit and it's funny, do that. You know, so these are the options. Be mean and funny or leave them alone. But don't just visit quietly, because that doesn't help me out at all. All right, everybody. Have the best week, huh? They got guns to my head. I think I'm going down. I can't believe it's happening in my own town. If I had wings, I would fly. Let me contemplate. I glance in the cut and I see my homie Nate. 16 in the and one in the hole. Nate Dogg is about to make somebody's turn. Now they dropping and yelling. It's a tad bit late. Nate Dogg and Warren G had to regulate.